The law must be strictly applied without fear or favor. In addition to labor law, unwritten customary and case law deriving from generations of judicial practice also play a role, particularly with regard to contracts and the right to receive compensation for damages. Now, here there are few examples given. Now, when I talk about law, you know, law is nothing but a demand from a situation arising. So, something happens on a continuous basis, okay, which is having a negative impact, and to, you know, curtail this, we design laws. So laws are not something, you know, imaginary in nature or based on assumptions. These are drafted or designed based on real situations happening on the in the organizations or on the workplaces, or maybe, you know, certain judicial case laws. Case laws means certain cases may have happened in past and we have faced certain problems. So based on this also we prepare new labor laws so that the same problem is not faced again. Two basic principles governing such collective agreements are: there should be no conflict between the agreement and the law. Now here we are talking about agreement. The agreement is signed between whom? Now there are various types of agreements signed between, now say for example, trade unions and government. Now we had a strike. The strike was because of the minimum wages. So the trade union demanded was something 18,000 per month, that is for 26 days, and what government was offering was very low. So here the agreement cannot be, you know, formed because they are not at a common point. But somewhere the bargaining can be done through, you know, involving other parties. The bargaining can be done and we can enter into a agreement by accepting the terms on a common point. Better terms and conditions will prevail. That is, an agreement may grant the employee's condition more favorable than the minimum laid down by the law of the land. That means anything, you know, beyond the limit set by the government cannot be given to an employee. Now say for example, a worker working in the industry, for example, the decided or the minimum wage rate decided by the government is, say for example, 300 rupees. So when you are, or the organization is entering in an agreement with an employee, cannot go beyond the standard limit set by the government. That means he cannot enter into an agreement where an employee is actually in need of job. So he agrees to work for 250, whereas the standard set by government is 300. So an agreement that is between the government and an organization is 300 rupees. But now here the employer or the organization is trying to create an agreement between himself and the employee which is 250 rupees. So this is illegal in nature because this is going beyond the standard set by the government. But this is not applicable if an employer is ready to give above the standard set by the government. Now say for example, the standard set by the government says minimum 300 rupees. But here there is an agreement between employer and employee wherein employer is ready to pay 350, which is above the standard. So that doesn't affect the validity of the agreement. So that means better terms and condition are always acceptable, but below the standard is never acceptable. It is basic principle of the modern law that to be valid, a contract has to involve a consideration. Now you might have studied, you know, basic elements of a contract wherein, you know, there is a offer, there is acceptance, and the third one, the third element of a contract is consideration. What is consideration? Consideration means something in return. So if an employee is working for X number of hours for an employer, employer has to give something in return. So that is called as a consideration. Involve a consideration, there is something to be given in return for the other party's performance. So who is performing over here? Employee is performing. And who will give return? Employer will give return. of the contract, usually wages, and this something in return or the consideration in our case is considered as wages, that is remuneration paid for the services given. Rent or purchase price. There are various forms of contract of service, whether written or verbal. So here there are various types of contracts. We have studied again in the Contract Act. There are various types of contract. The similar types of contract are also applicable between employer and employee. In some cases, collective agreements are contracts binding on the parties. They would not supersede the contracts of service of employer or workers who were not parties to the agreement. Now, I will explain this point by taking an example again. Now, here they have told about some collective agreements. Now, say for example, in steel industry, various industries dealing into manufacturing of steel, you know, and their trade unions together come to a common point and decide on some points like working conditions or maybe something on leaves they have decided, and they have signed a agreement. So this is a common agreement. So what happens now say for example this common agreement is signed in January 2016. So there may be, you know, too much of turnover between January 2016 and January 2017. So many of the employees may leave the organization and many new employees may join the organization. So if there are some new joinees in January 2017, so say for example in common agreement we have decided that maximum number of hours will be 8 hours. Now the new joinee, that is in January 2017, there is a contract between employer and employee wherein a minimum number of working hours is 9 hours. So it is not accepted, or maybe 7 hours. Again, it is not accepted. Why? Because a common agreement specify that it is 8 hours. Okay, so we cannot supersede to the common agreement. We have to go in line with the common agreement. However, in many countries, the legislation states that the term of collective agreements with union that enjoy recognized bargaining status shall be deemed to be legally binding on all persons in the specified occupation in the industry or service for which the agreement was made. Now, the earlier point, we have taken an example of steel industry. So, in the second point, we can understand that all the steel industry and their trade union who have collectively come together and decided the minimum working hours or maximum working hours, I can say, they have decided to it, and now every organization who is into manufacturing of steel are binding to follow this. That means no organization who is manufacturing steel can ask their workers to work more than 8 hours, because the decided working hours, maximum working hours is 8 hours. In such cases, agreements can be enforced in the courts. Labor inspectors are also involved in enforcing these conditions, just like the minimum conditions laid down by the law. So now when we are talking about this collective agreements, these are not the laws or rules or policies passed by the government or the labor ministry. These are the agreements which we have formed together, all organizations or steel manufacturing units and their trade unions, and now we want to get it legalized. So we can get it legalized through our courts. The broad areas covered under labor administration today, whether statutory or non-statutory, include, now here we have earlier, you know, discussed about small units. The central authority will be always labor administration, but then there are small units under this. Few are talking about working conditions, few are talking about health of employees, few are talking about wages and remuneration. So here they have broadly classified those areas. They are contracts and terms of employment. They are wages, working conditions, industrial relations, social security. Social security means you can say job security. Illegally, any employee cannot be removed from his or her work, cannot be retrenched, cannot be dismissed. There has to be a proper procedure for it. Training, employment of children and women, that means what are the basic rules and regulations you need to follow when you are employing a child or a woman. So now say for some industries, employing a person below the age of 18 may be permissible because there are no dangerous or harmful processes which may affect the health of the young one. But then there are certain industries which are dangerous or which are very sensitive in nature. So there, a person who is under the age of 18 is not allowed to be employed. Organization of workers and employers, information and research, industrial disputes and work stoppages. When we talk about work stoppages, what are those? They are strikes. So how, it is not at all illegal to go on strike. But then if you want to do a legal strike, what will be the procedures? How many days prior to the strike you have to submit the notice? To whom you have to submit the notice? Then when we talk about industrial disputes, what is the machinery set up in an industry to resolve this dispute? What are the minimum reports required to resolve this dispute? All are mentioned by the Labor Administration Department. The specific fields of labor administration activities include quantum of wages, including minimum wages. Now, quantum of wages means, now say, for example, minimum wage. So, we have discussed in our earlier example that there is a rule, say 300 rupees per day is a minimum wage for a particular industry for specified number of hours. So, these are minimum wages. We have decided on minimum wages, how much is to be paid. But it is equally important when and how it is to be paid. Now, an employer may employ a person and say, okay, I'll pay you 300 per day. So, according to whatever the bill, 26 days, whatever the amount comes to, he has to pay within 30 days of the service provided. Okay, so that is deciding when and how to pay wages. It is not only important to decide how much to pay, but then how it is to be paid and within what time frame it is to be paid is equally important. Protection of wages. Fringe benefits. Now, what are these fringe benefits? These fringe benefits are something which are not directly associated with the performance. Now, when I talk about incentives, it is directly linked with your performance. If you perform, you get incentives, you get extra benefits, or else you don't get it. Now, when I talk about fringe benefits, they are other benefits other than the terms of employment or the monetary benefits. Now, say for example, you get bonus. So now bonus is not directly linked with performance. Every employee working in an industry will be eligible to get bonus. Now again, we are talking in detail about bonus, who will be paid bonus, how it will be paid, and what will be the terms to become eligible for bonus. Now say for example, I have joined an organization and I leave that organization before the time frame designed to become eligible for getting a bonus. So all these rules and regulations again are framed in the bonus. Hours of working, that is minimum and maximum hours of working, holidays, list of holidays, and leaves. What type of leaves you can get when you are working in an industry? Maybe sick leave, casual leaves, paid leaves. The specific field of labor administration activities include physical working conditions, occupational safety and health, maternity protection, workmen's compensation. Now when I talk about workmen's compensation, there are different areas. Now say for example, an employee has met with an accident due to a faulty machine or machinery or a faulty process and he meets with an accident, now your employer or the organization is liable to pay compensation for that. So what are the rules, what are the regulations, how much the compensation will be paid, etc. is covered in the workman's compensation. Provident fund and pension and gratuity. Now when we talk about provident fund, that is EP, provident fund. So what are the percentage, what is the contribution of employer, what will be the contribution of employee, how it will be deducted, when it will be paid, when you are eligible to, you know, get EPF. Then pension, who will be getting pension, who will not be getting pension, when you are eligible for gratuity. Now generally gratuity you are eligible only when you complete continuous service of 5 years in an organization, only then you are eligible for gratuity. So such rules, regulation and policies regarding gratuity, pension, provident fund is a major area of labor administration. Sickness benefit and medical benefit. Now you get sickness benefit and medical benefit from ESIC also. ESIC is nothing but Employee State Insurance Corporation of India. So in ESIC again it is a contribution from employer and employee, and then you are being given some benefits when you fall sick or you fall sick for a longer period of time, you also get medical benefits under this. But other than ESIC, every industry, you know, from their own, they are giving some sick leaves or say sick payment. Now say for example an employee who is there on a daily wages but is working since a long period of time in an organization or an industry, falls sick. So certain amount of his daily wages will be paid to him, but that is again voluntary in nature. But somewhere some arrangements or provisions are made which is compulsory. Unemployment benefit. Now this unemployment benefit has too much of importance in foreign countries. Now if we talk about, you know, few countries like USA and Canada. So what happens is once the person is eligible or under the working age, and if he or she is unemployed because he or she is not getting an appropriate job which matches his or her skills, then the government of that particular country, you know, gives certain amount to that particular person. Though he is unemployed, but then that certain amount is being paid by the government till the time he or she gets employed. Employment policy, employment exchange, training, vocational guidance. Now sometimes the employee is good at you know, some other area, but then he has got an employment in some other industry, so here he can take that guidance, or we can say it is a type of counseling given to an employee after judging his skills and abilities whether he can be transferred to some other department or whether some employment exchange can be done within the industries. This concept is not that you know, has not gained so much of importance in India yet. Labor welfare measures, collective bargaining, as we have discussed earlier also, what is collective bargaining? Industrial actions, what are the industrial actions? From employees' side, they go on strike. From employers' side, they can declare lockouts. If the employees are not satisfied with the terms and conditions or the employment terms offered by the employer, and then employer is not ready to agree upon what the employee actually needs, then the employee may go aggressive and may go on strike. And vice versa, if the employer is not satisfied with the performance of the employee, and you know, after giving warnings, several warnings, they are still not following the discipline that is set by the organization, employer may declare a lockout in his industry. Workers' participation in management, we have discussed this point in detail in the earlier chapters. Trade unions, these are nothing but the association of employees. Employers organization, unfair labor practices. What is unfair labor practices? That is the standard set by government and still the employer is not following. In our earlier example, we understood that minimum wage decided by government was 300, but then employer was getting into an agreement with an employee to work for 250. So that is an unfair labor practice. Tri-party forums. Now, tri-party forums means government, employer and employee. Employment of children and women. Collection and dissemination of information relating to labor, labor surveys, etc. The International Labor Conference suggests the following main functions of Department of Labor. Now, here the International Labor Conference have suggested some core functions that needs to be taken care of especially by Department of Labor of each and every country. That is to provide the government all useful information with regard to elaboration of government labor policy. Now, see, earlier also when we have discussed about labor administration or public administration, we have discussed that to make an effective labor policy, it is very important that the labor policy goes in line with the current situation or the current market conditions. And it is only possible to design a policy which matches the current situation with sufficient data and information. So, who is going to provide this data and information to government so that it helps the government to, you know, plan and implement and design such policies? So, here the International Labour Conference has given that role to, say, labour department, that he or that particular department should gather such relevant and current information and pass it on to government as soon as possible so that current useful labor policies are being implemented and designed. To advise the government with regard to elaboration of government labor policy. Now see, when the labor department is into continuous research of the current market conditions, they are in a better position to understand which policy needs a redefining of policy or redesigning of policy. So they can also, you know, consult with the government and give them suggestions on where the policy needs to be elaborated and where some of the policies can be eliminated. Preparation of laws and regulations. Administration of laws and regulation. Now, as I told you, preparation of laws and regulation are important, but equally important is their effective implementation. Only after effective implementation we will get better results. The International Labour Conference also suggests that implementation of government's labour policy and handling of labour questions to participate at highest level with other department of government in elaboration of policies concerning such objectives as eradication of unemployment, industrial peace and other questions. Now here the labor department plays a major role not only designing policies but somewhere we are visualizing a positive circle or an impact. That means good labor policies and laws will in turn create healthy workforce, a satisfied workforce, and this in turn will create better relationship between employer and employee. So this will somewhere impact not only the relating organization or industry but as a country as a whole, and which will help us smoothen and fasten our economic development. To have adequate competent staff and admin resource to enable it to perform its function efficiently and impartially. This will not only help, to get the rights of the employees and having a control mechanism on employer, but at the same time what is happening is we as a country are somewhere, having a very efficient and skilled workforce, healthy, happy workforce. So here we have actually discussed about how a administration system can be more efficient by implementing such principles which are being suggested by International Labour Conference. Then how can we match up to the standards and conventions which are being framed by ILO, International Labour Organizations, and how we can set up a control mechanism so that whenever a labor law or policy is designed by a government, they are in line with the current situation and current market condition. So it becomes very easy to implement also, and we can get faster and better results out of it. Thank you very much.